Academy Red Terror Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Coastal Pines Technical College, Urgent Med 1 and Urgent Med Plus, Heron Document Systems, Barber's Body Shop, Adrian Browning, Attorney at Law, Jessup Furniture, and by Catch 228. And now, here is your host, Christian Gokul.
And welcome into the Glenn Academy Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Christian Gokul on location at Catch 228 on St. Simon's, where we'll be each and every week on Tuesday nights at 7 for the entire season. This segment of the Rocky Hidalgo Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Jessup Furniture, Barber's Body Shop, Heron Document Systems, Urgent Med 1 and Urgent Med Plus, Adrian Browning, Attorney at Law, Coastal Pine Technical College, and by Catch 228. And joining us now, the head coach of the Glenn Academy Red Terriers, Coach Rocky Hidalgo. How we doing? And coach, a tough loss on Friday in a game that really neither team really seemed like they ever got off the ground.
It was bad. That's a, you know, it was just really bad in a lot of ways. I mean, just that we didn't play well. I know everybody, we gave up 12 points and people kind of look at it and go, they played pretty well on defense, but we didn't play very well at all. We didn't, you know, we had a lot of misalignments, just mentally, we just really weren't in the game. And just disappointing on a lot of fronts, especially playing in a game that big, you know, that's, you know, usually by this time of year, our kids are kind of settled in and playing hard, and for whatever reason, you know, we just didn't play well, didn't have it that week during practice, you know, and just had a little hangover, I guess, from the Brunswick High game.
And when you look at the region now, of course, Richmond Hill sits atop 2-0 in the region. You guys are just under a 2-1, and right behind you is Brunswick. If Brunswick's able to take down Richmond Hill, what's that going to do with that three-way tie?
I'll be honest with you. I told everybody, if they talk to me about tiebreakers, I'm going to punch him in the face. That's what I told my coaches. The first person talks about tiebreakers, I'm going to punch him in the face. I told the kids, they're going, anybody mentions to me about tiebreakers, they're going to run until they get sick to their stomach. I don't want to talk about tiebreakers. If we were overly concerned with region finishes, we'd have gone out and took care of business last week. So we're going to go play two games. We're going to go prepare. We're going to practice. We're going to play Camden. We're going to play Great versus Camden. We're going to get ready to go play Great versus Bradwell. We can't do anything about those games. I'm not interested in it. At the end of the season, somebody will tell us where we're going to go play football, and that's the way it's going to be. And I have zero interest in talking about tiebreakers. When we voted on it, I told the coaches, I don't care about tiebreakers because my football team's not going to be involved in one, and it just makes me angry on so many levels that we put ourselves in this position. So,
well, coming into practice this week, what's been the general attitude around the team?
Look, our kids, this matters to our kids. We had a tough film session. We said some nasty things about their parents and worse things about them when we watched the film. And it wasn't pretty, to say the least, because the game tape wasn't pretty. We had 39 offensive plays and 8 bad quarterback center exchanges, 4 procedure penalties, 2 holding penalties, an illegal block below the waist, 4 fumbles, an interception, and like 11 missed assignments, obvious missed assignments. Or, you know, 6 times we didn't block the nose guard on a gap scheme. And big points in the game, 3rd and 3 with 7 minutes left in the game, we're driving the football. And we corrected it on the sideline every time. We showed the kids the video on the sideline and said, hey, it's a bare front. Everybody's got to block back. And it wasn't one kid that did it. It was everybody. This one came by, honestly. But, you know, 3rd and 3, we lose 6 yards and take a delayed game for a coffin corner kick to make them drive the field. And, amazingly we executed the delay of game. That was when all things said and done, I was surprised we were able to do that.
Well, moving on, Camden had to be rescheduled from the beginning of the season. Now it's this Thursday at 6 o'clock. Camden had a rough year last year going 2-7, and they improved that a little bit, 3-4 this year. What are we looking at under this Camden team?
They've gotten better since we were scouting them earlier in the year. After looking, I know they're coming off a tough loss to Lowndes, but Lowndes is beating a lot of good teams, beating their eyes out. I mean, Lowndes is really good. They do a lot of good things really well, and they're going to be excited to play us. They played Colquitt County, just nails a couple of weeks ago. So you know, we're gonna have to play well. You know, and we might be without Kane Cruz Friday night. We're not sure about that, or Thursday night. Not sure if he's gonna be available or not. So you know, but you know, I always say this, and people probably get tired of hearing it. It's about us. It's we had really good practices. Yesterday's practice was pretty good. Today's was really good. You know, we practice well and prepare well, we'll be fine in the game. But, you know, Camden gets better every week. They're, you know, the quarterback's a really good player. They've got some good skill on offense. The offensive line's improved a ton. They run around better on defense. So they're a better football team. So we're going to have to play well. If we play well, we'll win the game. If we don't, we're not.
And again, this game is on Thursday night. What was the reasoning behind that one, Coach?
It was just because nobody was going to come to the game on Friday night, with it being Georgia and Florida. Camden County's got a playoff game essentially with Tift County the following week, and that gives them an additional day to kind of prepare and heal up. You know, and we just felt like with Georgia, Florida, we wanted to get it away from Georgia, Florida. So hopefully we'll get some folks in the stadium to come watch it. And it just made more sense for Camden County to play on Thursday because they had a big game the week before. And, you know, frankly, so do we. We've got a big game versus Bradwell. Give us another day to get healed up, ready to roll.
And obviously not a game you had to play because it was during Hurricane Irma and not a region game, but a game you want to play because this is a traditional matchup between these two teams.
It is. I mean, I like playing our neighbors, and, you know, the other side is it is about money. I mean, this is a home game for us. Hopefully we'll have a good crowd. Camden usually travels pretty well, so I'm hoping they'll bring some fans. Yep. I think our folks will turn out for the game, and it is. It's about, you know, this is how we fund the program. This is how we fund athletics in Glenn County. So it's important for us to play this game and have a home game and do those things because it keeps some cash in the coffers for all those other sports.
All right. When we come back on the Coach Rocky Hidalgo Show here on the Bishop Media Sports Network, we're talking to the coach about some of his seniors. We're getting towards the end of the season. We're going to talk about some of the guys that have been with Glenn for the past 4 years. That's next on the Coach Rocky Hidalgo Show here on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
You are proud new home for the Glenn Academy Rocky Hidalgo Coaches Show this season? Catch 228. Be sure to be there every Tuesday night at 7 as the Red Terriers head coach breaks down the week in Glenn Academy football. And of course, while you're at Catch 228, try their world-famous oysters. 228 Redfern Village at the end of Redfern Village on St. Simons. 912-634-6228 and let's go Terriers!
Fight songs, cheerleaders, whistles blowing, they're all part of the game. Unfortunately, so are injuries. I'm Dr. Denny Carter with Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, reminding all athletes that if you hurt your elbow, break your hand or wrist, or even blow out a shoulder or knee, we can help. And we have the strength of Southeast Georgia Health System supporting us. Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS, that's 1-855-275-7447, or visit sghs.org.
Herron Document Systems is your go-to source for all of your copier and printer needs. Let me tell you a true story. A local business called Herron Document Systems to see what they could do for them, and Herron Document Systems ended up saving that company over $6,400 over the contract term. Authorized dealer for Canon, Sharp, and Samsung. 35 years locally owned and operated. Give them a call, 912-267-7802, or check them out online at herronds.com.
The stress of being in an accident doesn't need to be compounded by dealing with a body shop that doesn't have your best interest in mind. That's why Barber's Body Shop has been in business for over 20 years, because they care about you. Locally owned and operated, which means the Barber's Body Shop family are people you know, your neighbors, people you go to church with and you see on Friday nights. Highway 341, just before the overpass next to Langford Auto Parts, 912-262-6841. And remember, let's go Terriers!
Welcome back to the Glenn Academy Coaches Show with Head Coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Christian Gotell on location from Catch 228 on St. Simons. This segment is brought to you by Catch 228, Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Herron Document Systems, and by Coastal Pine Technical College. Now, Coach, as we come down the home stretch of the season, I just wanted to take some time and recognize the guys, your seniors, who are coming down towards the end of their career. And the first guy I wanted to start out with was a guy who had a season cut short, and that's Cameron McClellan.
Yeah, you know, Cam was a kid. He's a really good player, and that had a huge impact on us because, I mean, he had developed into an all-region caliber linebacker. And, you know, I felt like we had the two best linebackers, inside linebackers in the region with he and Hunter. He's a kid that, you know, is getting injured, you know, will have an impact on him, his ability to play at the college level, where, you know, we hope somebody will come in and look at the film that they've got on him and say, hey, you know, we really like this kid, because he's a really good player. He's a big body, you know, he's about 6'1", he's 210 pounds, and he can run. And he's a big physical kid. The thing that he brings to the table, he's just emotionally, he's just got this motor. He's, you know, he's a little bit crazy, that's kind of what you want as a linebacker. And he's just got like an edge to him that he brings to the table, and he's good for the football program as a whole.
Is he going to be prospects right now of colleges right now?
Yeah, he's talking to Florida Tech, and there's some other schools that had kind of come in and looked at him, and just that, you know, he had that bad cut on his toe early, so he, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of tape on him. And they wanted to evaluate him his senior year because he had come from, you know, a little private school, and so guys wanted to come in and look at that stuff. So, you know, we just got to kind of upsell him a little bit. I think he's got some good film, and just hope for the best with him.
Well, another guy, much like Cam, that's got just a fierce head of hair, is special teamers Jake Polesny.
Yeah, you know, Jack can really kick the ball. He's got a big leg. He hasn't been kicking very much. I mean, you know, this is really only his second year. He's still learning how to do it. There are a lot of colleges that have seen him kick the ball in the end zone. Yeah. Recruiting kickers is really odd. It's just how it works is odd, because none of those guys get scholarships, really. I say that none. They're probably 5 to maybe 10 kickers nationally that might get a scholarship, and it's probably less than 5, really. Out of the gate, and most of those guys have to come on and earn a scholarship. I've had about 6 or 7 guys that have earned one. Jack's a kid that if he continues to kick has a chance, because he can put the ball in the end zone. He's got a leg. I mean, he really does. The ball just flies off his foot, and coaches see that on film, and that's something you really can't coach. They can teach him how to kick field goals. They can teach him how to, and he's come a long way with his field goal kicking, where he's a solid field goal kicker. So I think he'll have an opportunity. It's not going to be something where somebody's going to come and offer him $45,000 a scholarship, but I think somebody will offer him a chance to come in and walk on and earn a scholarship, which, you know, if you're there for a year and your second year you're getting paid to go to school, that's not a bad thing.
Well, as you mentioned, at a lot of colleges now, it's really becoming a specialty where you got guys whose focus is just kickoffs, and you have your place kickers and your punters.
Yeah, you know, I think mostly guys have kickers and punters. I think most teams would like to have a guy, you know, a guy that can just kick in the end zone every time, and a guy, and that guy can kick field goals. But sometimes those guys are finding a guy who can really kick field goals, is really accurate, and kick it in the end zone is tough sometimes. And, you know, that's why you see guys who have used 2 or 3 different kickers.
And moving on, and this guy's really stepped up for you this year. Got nicked up a little bit in the last game, but the week before that, racked up 3 touchdowns, and that's your senior running back, Kane Cruz.
Yeah, you know, Kane, man, he's a competitive kid. He can do anything on the football field. He can play wide receiver, slot, running back, corner, safety. He can play outside linebacker. I was watching some film from last year on him, and just – you know, he hadn't played a whole lot of defense. You forget how good he was on defense. He really sprints to the football, fills alleys, and he's an incredible tackler. So, you know, it's to lose a kid like that on defense, it stinks, but unfortunately we needed him on offense. It's just kind of the situation that we have. So, you know, we're still holding out hope. I think Tyler gets a little healthy. I'm hoping we can start moving him back some on defense and getting him over there on the defensive side of the ball.
And anybody coming down and talking to Kane as of right now?
You know, I think there's schools that, you know, and it's like anything else. I think there's schools and you know, Kane is about a 5'8", 5'9 kid. And so there's schools, a lot of schools that are interested in him. But it's, you know, at this point in time of the season, it's not those Division I schools and mid-majors are the guys that are – most of those schools are the ones that are throwing out offers. And unfortunately, I think Kane's a good enough player, played a lot of those places, but because of his height, he's probably not going to get that opportunity, at least not early. But I think he's going to be a guy that – we've talked to a lot of Division II schools. He's taking some NIA visits as well. I think he's going to have a chance to go off and play somewhere and get an education with football.
And do you see him projecting more as a DB or as a running back?
You know, I can't. It's just where somebody – you know, yeah. The thing is, when you do recruiting, you can have 50 coaches come in a room and watch a kid, look at a kid, and none of them like him. And 51 comes in and goes, man, I really like this kid, and they offer him. And when that kid gets an offer, other guys go, well, he must have seen something, and he gets other offers. So projecting who's going to like a kid and where he's going to play is just – is hard, and recruiting here is really tough as compared to up in Atlanta, where I would get 300 schools come through my office a year. Here we get 15 or 20. It's just very different. So we when the season's over, we go on the road. We go up to Atlanta to a couple of recruiting fairs. We go to Macon to a recruiting fair, one in Jacksonville, to get our kids in front of our players in front of coaches, because we just don't get a lot of recruiting traffic here. And people go take them to camps and all that stuff, but it's hard to take. You can take a kid to maybe three camps, four camps during the summer, but you can't take him to 50 camps. It's, you know, a kid can't just get to those camps. It's hard in a situation like this, because kids just don't get seen as much as they do in Metro Atlanta. It's just easier for people to recruit up there. And I try to tell those guys to get down here, because I think you can get a better quality of kid with less effort, because there's not the recruiting pressure.
And like you said, not a ton of schools coming through here, but through all your relationships that you developed through your years of being a coach, are there any schools that have really found Glenn Academy as a pipeline?
Well, you know, I think schools come down here because of that, because of my relationship, and they see that we've built a good quality program, and we've developed some kids here, and we've had some kids go off and be successful. I think West Georgia comes every year, where, you know, it's, they come down and look at our kids, and, you know, Hunter's got a West Georgia offer. They've had taken two or three of our kids to West Georgia, and they like two or three other of our kids. So there's a chance that some other kids might get offered there at West Georgia. But I think Coach Cruz does a great job when you know, kind of communicating with colleges from around the country. He's helped place kids out in California, Arizona, Minnesota, Kansas, all over the place, finding places for kids to go play ball. So we work hard at that, and especially when the season's over. That's kind of what we do through signing day. I mean, that's what we do 8-10 hours a day, is try to get those kids someplace to go, get on the phone and call some coaches and see if we can get them on tape, and then you got to get them there. And, it's a lot of work finding a guy, getting a place to get an offer or have a chance to go play college ball.
Well, the last two guys I want to talk to you about, a little bit of a package deal, and that's the Delaney brothers. And just from like a fan's perspective, when you look down on the sideline, they seem to be the guys who are rallying the team around them.
Yeah, you know, they've played a lot of ball here for us, and they're, I mean, really just great kids, really good students, and two really good football players, you know, and both those guys I think will have an opportunity somewhere. And it's all about projections. You know, Andrew's is a big tight end guy, and what's, you know, unfortunate for Andrew, not everybody with the spread, very few teams are using that true kind of pro-style tight end nowadays. I think a lot of people want him to eat himself into being a offensive tackle is probably what people want him to do. I get that a lot of questions, because he's a big athletic kid, and he's got a great frame on him. You know, Bennett's a kid that can play a lot of positions. He can deep snap. He can do a lot of things. I'd say this about Bennett. He's worked really hard, and the feedback he's gotten from coaches on where he needed to improve, I think he's really improved. I think, you know, people talk to him about his core strength and his snap off the ball, and I think he's really done a good job of that. He's improved a ton. I think if you watch his tape, I think you see that it comes off the page. He's gotten more physical, and especially in the midsection. He's done a good job really supporting his upper body. So, you know, that's something he's worked on. He's focused on Ben. He's a big, strong kid, you know, and I think both those guys will have a chance to go somewhere and play some football.
All guys, we really appreciate what they've done for the Terror Nation, and really hope that they do well in the future. But when we come back, it's like you know something about football.
I don't know. So we'll see.
We'll talk a little college football with the coach when we come back here on the Coach Rocky Hidalgo Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Urgent Med is more than just an urgent care clinic. Urgent Med is now accepting primary care patients and accepts most insurances. With two locations to serve all of Glenn County, Urgent Med Prime, 5248 New Jessup Highway, just off I-95 at exit 36B, and Urgent Med Plus on St. Simon's in the Winn-Dixie Shopping Center at 106 Retreat Village. Walk in anytime and get in, out, and on with your life. In Brunswick, 912-264-1883, and on St. Simon's, 912-434-9316, or check out Urgent Med online at urgentmed-1.
Having trouble finding a job? Need to update your skills? Now is the right time to enroll at Coastal Pines Technical College, with 7 locations to serve you in Alma, Bexley, Kingsland, Golden Isles, Hazelhurst, Jessup, and Waycross. What are you waiting for? With more locations, more programs, more opportunities, and more ways to reach your potential, Coastal Pines Technical College provides high technical adult education and training services to meet the needs of the community. Visit coastalpines.edu. Coastal Pines Technical Technical College is an equal opportunity institution.
There are hurdles, there are handicaps, and there are hardships you will face in life, but you don't have to face them alone. Adrian Browning, attorney at law, will have your back. She has the knowledge and compassion to tackle your issue and make your journey as smooth as possible. Whether divorce, custody, personal injury, or criminal law, including DUI, she's got your back. Come see her at 9 St. Andrews Court beside Mary Ross Waterfront Park, 912-580-3507, and abrowninglaw.com. Schedule your free consultation today, and you be the judge.
Looking for top-quality furniture at prices that blow away the competition? Jessup Furniture Outlet. Ashley, Universal, Bassett, Lexington, and so many more. Jessup Furniture offers delivery and 12-month interest-free financing located at 651 Scranton Road next to Old Times, or give Jessup Furniture a call, 912-267-1897. Also, find Jessup Furniture on Facebook. Jessup Furniture, your top-quality furniture outlet that won't break your budget.
And welcome back to the Glen Academy Red Terror Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Christian Gokel on location at Catch 228 on St. Simons. This segment is brought to you by Urgent Med 1, Urgent Med Plus, Barber's Body Shop, Jessup Furniture, and by Adrian Browning, attorney at law. Coach, you are officially 3 games ahead of me, a full week ahead of me in the pick'ems. That's 14-7 right now.
I've let you stay close.
You gonna pull away this week?
Maybe. I don't know. What are we picking?
Well, we won't beat around the bush with the first one. Florida at 3-3 takes on Georgia, number 3 in the country, at 3:30 in Jacksonville.
I'm itching to pick Florida in this game just to hear the collective groan from all the Georgia
lead. You can play
from all
one.
The Georgia fans. I do think Georgia will win this game, but I think God has a sense of humor and for some reason I think I have this itch in the back of my throat that tells me that he just loves to see the Georgia Bulldogs fans end up like 11-1 and out of the national championship game. just because you guys fired Mark Richt because he could never get there and he was a game out. I think this is going to be retribution. I don't know. No, I'm going to pick Georgia in the game, but if they lose, the Georgia fans are going to do more damage to St. Simons Island than the Hurricanes did.
All right, I'll ask it to you like this. Not necessarily what's it going to take for Florida to beat Georgia, but what is Georgia going to have to do to lose to Florida?
They have to lose the game. And everybody says that. It's a big deal to go in and win that game for them. I mean, and if Florida plays well early, the whole thing is they've got to play well early. This game is going to go two ways, one of two ways. Is Georgia's going to come out, light them on fire early, and beat them, 45-7. And if Georgia gets off to a quick start early, that's how the game's going to go. I don't see Florida fighting back in the game if Georgia gets a 14 or 17-point lead. I think it'll be all Georgia all day. But if Florida plays well early, there's that little bird of doubt that sings in the back of everybody's head when a team has just had your number, that that will be there, and they'll start looking around going, I don't know, here we go, and it will build, the momentum will build for Florida. The longer Florida is around, it's bad news for Georgia. Georgia needs to come out, and if I were Kirby Smart, I would come out and be super aggressive early in the game and get them on their heels and get momentum for my football team, because you don't want to be in a position where you start slow and you have doubt creeping into all your players and your fans' minds. I believe in that whole universal thing, and I used to go to Falcons games and sit up in the Falcons fan in the stands when the Saints would play them, and even they would be winning, and I would Jedi mind trick the Falcons fans into believing they were going to lose, and I have like 2,000 fans just knowing they were going to lose up there, and the Saints would come back and win. And I would leave, and I would be so happy every year. And I think sometimes you do that as fans. You convince yourself bad things are going to happen, and the universe, you invite the universe to come in and have some mischief.
Well, speaking as an Atlanta sportsman, I can tell you years and years of heartbreak has just ingrained that into our minds.
Hey, it is what it is. And look, man, I was a Saints fan. I don't want to hear about it. We didn't win anything for 40 years.
Then a man named Drew Brees came to town.
Thank you very much, Miami Dolphins.
Yes. Yeah.
So I just want to hear you say you're picking Georgia.
I'm going to take Georgia in that game.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you. And another game at 3:30, a battle of one-loss teams. NC State, maybe a dark horse ACC contender, takes on Notre Dame. Of course, one loss came to Georgia at Notre Dame.
Where are they playing?
At Notre Dame.
At Notre Dame. Oof. I think NC State's pretty good. I think Notre Dame's pretty good as well.
NC State's got a nasty front seven.
Yeah, and you know, the problem, you know, I'm going to go NC State in this game because, can Notre Dame get up 2 weeks in a row like that? It's tough to play great 2 weeks in a row. And I think, who did NC State play last week? NC State. Who did they play? Well, they had some jamoke. From the Atlantic Division or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who was it? North Carolina. They beat North Carolina 100-0. Come on, give me that.
Correct. That would be Pitt 35-17.
Yeah. See, you know, I just think, you know, NC State's probably going to be built up for this game. It's going to be a big game. I'll go NC State. I've seen them play a couple of times. Not the whole game, but I've seen them play a couple. They run around and get after it.
Bradley Chubb on their defensive line going to be top five pick in the NFL draft. He's a monster.
That's what I've heard.
All right, and our last pick. Oh, I'll go back. I'll go ahead and take Notre Dame in that one. Just to disagree with you. Got to make a comeback. I can't agree with you on all of them. And in the last one, a battle of top 10 teams, Penn State, fresh off whooping up on Michigan in Happy Valley during the whiteout. Try to take on a confusing Ohio State team because apparently they're Wolves now as they're going to be wearing their Wolfpack uniforms.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Number 6 Ohio State, the Buckeyes. Come up some uniforms called the Wolfpack.
Do they have hair on them? Are they his?
Not quite as bad as Florida's.
The Gators. Yeah. That would be awesome if they have like, if they were like shag carpet on the outside. That would be good. They had fur. I haven't seen Ohio State in a while. Where are they playing?
Ohio State. And then Ohio State's got that one bad loss to Oklahoma besides that.
I'm a James Franklin fan. I had a couple of kids play for him. They really liked him. He does a great job with motivation. And I'm not really an Urban Meyer fan. I had some dealings with him over some players. And, you know, just between me and the podcast world, I didn't think he was a very good person. So I'm rooting for Penn State in this game. I'm gonna go Penn State on this one. Go Coach Franklin.
And have you had a chance to watch Saquon Barkley at all?
His highlights. He looks really good. I wish you were wearing red morning. He looks good. I haven't really watched a whole bunch of Penn State or Ohio State. This honestly, so there we go.
I can't take a team after what Florida did with those Gator skin uniforms. I can't take a team with the gimmick jerseys. Penn State's really good. Saquon Barkley's running away with the Heisman. Give me the Nittany Lions. So we got. We
You're
got
never
one.
Gonna catch up. You're never catching up picking the same guys.
We got one. I'm just gonna build. See, what we gotta do now is you just gotta go all the way to the dome. See, give me more weeks.
We'll be in the NFL season. I don't know anything about it. I don't even know who's good. I'll pick the Patriots every week.
Every week in the fog. Well, Coach, we appreciate the time and good luck against Camden on Thursday.
No problem.
All right, and make sure you come out and join us on Catch 228 every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock for the Coach Rocky Hidalgo Show. Next week, because of Halloween, we'll be on Wednesday night. So Coach, you got to take some kids trick-or-treating.
Yes.
And we appreciate it. This is Christian Gokel signing off.